Hello and welcome to Greenish, the only podcast that discusses what money and kale have in common.
From money and kale to mindfulness and capital, our mission is to discuss this intersection while speaking to the entrepreneurs that fuse both.
We're your hosts. I'm Ari.
And I'm Kate.
And today we have the pleasure of speaking with Simone De La Rue, founder of Body by Simone.
Simone, we're so excited to have you.
Yay. Hi, ladies. Thank you for having me.
Simone De La Rue is a celebrity trainer, certified life coach, entrepreneur, and mom. She is the founder of Body by Simone, also known by Forbes as Hollywood's hottest workout empire. Also, this past week, we hosted our Greenish launch week, which we had a double Greenish times Body by Simone class at the Brentwood Studio taught by Simone and trainer Jillian. We love Simone. We love Body by Simone, and we love her story.
Okay, so Simone, in the Greenish spirit, will you tell us about your roots, your background, your childhood? What did all of this look like for you?
Yes. People always ask me this when they hear my accent. But I was born in England, grew up in Australia. I've lived in and traveled to many countries, but I lived in England for a long time. And then I've been in the States for about 13 years now. I was a dancer, a professional dancer. I actually started at the age of 3, which is my son's age now. When I think about it, I'm like, I wonder what if he'll have a passion that he'll find as early as I did. But I danced for many years on West End in London, on Broadway, in Australia, and toured around. And then I eventually started Body by Simone 11 years ago and have since been in the fitness and health and wellness world since then.
You sat in the dressing room when you were a dancer and you had this aha moment about dance being inaccessible to a lot of people and being spiritual. And that was when you really had this realization that you wanted to impact other people's lives through dance and creating Body by Simone. So just to start off, I'm curious for our listeners, I think it's really easy to look at a moment in life in retrospect and think like, oh, that was like an aha moment. But what do you think these light bulbs mean? Like you could have easily ignored it. So how do you not ignore it and choose to tap into this intuition?
Yeah. I mean, I think when you have a business, I think there's two types of people. One that runs a business from gut and instinct, which is predominantly women. And then you have one that runs it from, you know, mental, from you know, like strategy and business plans. And so for me, it was always gut and instinct. And, you know, the aha moment was just wanting to take the power back. And I think we all experience that at some point in our lives and think, well, I don't want to work for the man. You know, I don't want to have my future in the hands of somebody else. I really want to try and control my destiny. So that moment, it was an aha moment, but it was something that I knew that I wanted to move on because I didn't want to continue to, you know, I'd done everything that I wanted to do in theater. You know, you kind of get to the point where you're like, I've done all the shows that I want to do. What next? So there was like that feeling inside of me that was like hungry and ambitious and driven for more. And I think it's really interesting. We may talk about it today, but I've had Body by Simone for, you know, 11 years. I've been a trainer for 12, 13 years. And I feel a similar shift or a transition happening for me now because I've literally trained every single celebrity that you could imagine on the planet. And I'm like, well, what's next for me, you know? So I'm trying to be in tune. I'm trying not to control it. I'm trying to go with the flow. And then that crazy saying is that, you know, trust your gut follow your intuition and let the universe lead you, because you always end up being in the right place. You know, in hindsight, you know, it's like, oh, that was easy, but you just have to trust. You have to trust your gut. You have to trust the universe that you will end up doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's one of the hardest things to do in life, because we want to control the journey. We want to control the outcome. And sometimes you just have to say, let's go for it.
Yeah, and this intuition permeates throughout your entire story, and we'll get into it later. But I still remember my first Body by Simone class. I had never really danced before. I mean, like, not counting a million dance parties with friends, but I remember getting into the class and there was choreography, and immediately I was thinking, oh no, like, I don't know the dance. I've never done this before, but it was so fun. I picked it up so quickly, and I walked out of the class and I totally reconsidered the way that I saw dancing before. Like, I felt empowered by the choreography and not intimidated at all. It was liberating. It was so much fun, and it felt freeing, which is so different from so many of the workouts today. And you pioneered this cardio dance workout space.
Yeah. And I just absolutely love how, you know, so many people take their passions, you know, for you, it was dancing and exercise and this alignment of the physical and the spiritual. So our question is, at what point did you realize this was really a business? You know, it was scalable and it wasn't really something you could just keep small anymore.
Yeah. I say this all the time. You know, I didn't have a business degree. I didn't have a business plan. I just literally found something that I loved and was passionate about. And the shift for me was from going from the ego of being on stage and getting the accolation and, oh, aren't I fabulous, to actually doing acts of service, of helping other people. And so that's what, you know, when I opened Body by Simone, it was like helping other women feel empowered, helping other women tune in with their creativity. And I found that that was actually a much greater return than being on stage. So that's kind of what drove me. So it wasn't, I never thought about, I want to have a fitness empire and I want to have a book and a DVDs and a TV show and shoes and, you know, all of these things. I just thought, I just want to do something that I love and get paid for it and, you know, and help others. And so I do believe that, you know, when you tune in to that path that you're supposed to do, you know, it just organically grows and evolves. Sometimes when you try so hard with something and you push so hard with something, sometimes, you know, you find yourself up against a brick wall. So there was never a business plan. There was never, you know, like, oh, this is going to be my future career. It just came from a place of wanting to help people. But when I realized, to your question, when I realized that it could be a business, is because the phone just didn't stop ringing and people were like, you know, they wanted to come back for more. And for me, the proof is in the pudding. If you have a return customer, then you're obviously doing something right because they love the experience and they want to come back. So I found myself overwhelmed because I had so many clients and so many people wanting to take class that I was like, I need to hire people. I need to, you know, have a schedule. I need to have classes. And so that's really how the business, it just happened organically because I found myself in the situation of, well, this is doing well and people like it, so I better build on this.
First of all, insane, amazing. I love that. but I want to go back for a second to something you just said. So our listenership is primarily in their 20s. And I think your story is so inspiring because, you know, I have a million friends. I know, Kate, you also probably have a million friends that are doing things that they think they're supposed to do. And they're totally ignoring their passions because they're kind of just running with something that they're pretty good at and they think they're supposed to do. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about where you're chasing, like what you're passionate about comes from. Is that something that was instilled in you when you were young? Is that something that you kind of just figured out along the way?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, being a dancer and growing up in the ballet world, because I was trained in classical ballet, it's so disciplined. You know, you're in there like five nights a week. You're there on the weekends when everyone else is out partying and, you know, gathering together. And so you, from a very young age, I just, I found something that I loved to do and fulfilled me. And so, like, you know, coming into to being an adult, I guess then I, you know, was a professional dancer, and that was also my passion. But I think I say this all the time, like, you absolutely 100% need passion to do any job that you want to do, but you cannot survive on passion alone. Because the other thing is, when you start this and you start a business, it's hard work. It's so much, like, people don't show you how hard the work is. Like, we are now living in a world, which I'm still battling with, is just, you know, when I started, social media wasn't such a big thing. And now everybody, there's like a million fit influencers, and anyone in a bra top and leggings with a six pack can tell you, oh, do this workout and, you know, do 10 leg lifts. And I'm like, are you even qualified? Like, you don't even know what you're doing when you're saying this. So people are making money, you know, off social media now, not necessarily having the tools and the background to follow it up. But getting back to your point about, you know, having passion, at the end of the day, I feel blessed that I've been able to always follow my heart and follow my passion, because I know not everybody gets to do that. I know people, you know, we all have to pay the bills. We all have to take care of our family. And sometimes you can't do your passion. Sometimes your passion has to be your side hustle or your hobby. But I think, you know, I say to young women, if you can find a way to make your passion something that you know, that you earn an income from, then absolutely go for that. But it is a blessing to be able to do that, because, you know, people in general, people can't. So it's a roundabout answer there, but
yeah. Well, no, and I feel like nowadays I feel like so many people are afraid to go after what they're truly passionate about, because if they fail, it inherently feels way more personal. Mm-hmm. Because it is like your passion, it's not just anything.
Yeah.
But okay, so for all of our listeners who haven't taken a Body by Simone class, can you walk us through the experience? Because, you know, it isn't just a cardio class, you also have sculpting workouts woven in there too.
Yeah. So, as I said, I created this 11 years ago. So we're kind of vintage now. It's so hysterical. There's so many, you know, so many of my head trainers that left that started their own business. And there's so many dance cardio studios now. It's kind of oversaturated, really. It's like everybody's, you know, doing dance cardio. But when I started 11 years ago, we had four signature classes. The main one was dance cardio. So it was like enabling women the opportunity to dance in an ego-free environment where you could just literally pick the steps up, move your body, burn calories, and have a good time. And then we added on trampoline class. So you do a whole class on a trampoline, which is so much fun and so challenging. You're spending the whole time trying to stay on the trampoline and not fall off. So you're using your core. It's low impact. It's protecting your joints. You're getting your heart rate up. It's actually an incredible workout. It feels like you're running in quicksand. And then there's the strength and toning classes, which is the upper body, lower body, and full body. So you really giving that balance between, you know, setting a program. If someone went to the gym on Monday, they would do arms, you know, and then on Tuesday they would do cardio, Wednesday they would do lower body, Thursday they would do cardio again, Friday they may do full body. So I put these classes in to give the people the opportunity to just focus on, you know, whatever muscle group that they wanted, but you're really getting in that cardio and strength training. But I think what makes us different from the normal gym or the normal workout is that I used to hate doing cardio. I used to hate running. I used to hate swimming. I used to hate cycling, you know, and so the idea of dancing for an hour and getting your heart rate up and burning calories and having a good time and learning choreography and using your brain was a lot more exciting to me than hopping on a treadmill where you're just literally waiting for the minutes to pass, you know, before clocking over. Like 10 minutes feels like the longest 10 minutes of your life. And you're like, I'm still on this treadmill. Yeah. So that's everything that we offer.
That's so interesting. And the cardio dance industry has changed so much over the past few years. You talked about using rebounders in your classes. And I remember my mom bought a rebounder that was in her room and she was telling me to use it and how great it is for your lymphatic system and inflammation. And I was thinking to myself, like, this is not a workout. This is like bouncing on a trampoline. And I think there's this whole change in the workout industry towards seeing that a workout doesn't have to be like a point of dread in your day. It can actually be fun. And fun workouts are also very effective. Like, there was a NASA study that found that 10 minutes of jumping on a trampoline is the equivalent of a 30-minute run. And this is so different from the way that we see working out as being like, it has to be sweating head to toe, but working out can also be fun. So I'm really curious, where do you see the cardio dance industry going from here?
I'm asking myself this and I'm wondering because, you know, as I said, it's so oversaturated now. Even online fitness is so oversaturated because of COVID. Everybody started an app. Everybody started Zoom classes. I think everyone's feeling a little fatigued, to be honest. I think clients are and fitness instructors are because there's just so much content and so much out there, and there's so much competition. As I said, when I started, there was myself and like one other studio that did trampoline and dance cardio, and now there's, you know, hundreds. So I think it will stick around because it is so enjoyable and people love it, and it's a great way to move your body, and it's a really great workout. It's an interesting time for the fitness industry. COVID really, you know, destroyed a lot of businesses. People are still afraid of the in-person experience, which for me is the greatest. You know, I teach on my app, I teach Zoom classes, I teach virtually. It's not the same. You know, I don't care what anyone says. It's not the same as like looking at someone and feeling their energy and seeing their sweat and, you know, everyone like in the room together. It's like incredible energy. So I think it's going to take a while for us to return, for people to feel confident to return to studios. But I really pray and hope that people do, because we miss that community. We miss that socialization. We miss that connection with people.
That's incredible. And kind of going off of that, we know like exercise isn't just a one-stop shop. Like wellness is our career and our relationships, our passion, the way we view ourselves. This is something Ari and I are very, very passionate about. And eating and exercise go hand in hand. And in the past, like it was either like I was eating super healthy, but my exercise was off, or my exercise was like very on point every day, like leading through that with a lot of intention, and then my eating was off. But I think balance is really where we find like that intuitive nature between both. So as a trainer, I'm curious how you encourage clients and would also prompt our listeners to approach the plate intuitively.
Yes, this is a big one because it is 80% diet, 20% exercise. And I don't even like to use the word diet. It's 80% food intake, calorie intake is 20% calorie, like exercise. So I have always viewed food as fuel. Like, how will this fuel me for my day? Will it give me energy to be present with my child? Will it give me energy to be able to get through my workout? Will it give me energy to sit in front of my computer and do my work? Will it help me focus when I've got a Zoom meeting? Or, you know, so I think it's like changing the idea of why we're eating. We're not just eating just for the sake of it. We're not just eating just because, oh, I feel like a bag of crisps, so that's what I'm going to eat. Like really thinking about how it, you know, how it fills you up and how it makes you feel, and how it fuels you for your day. You know, I grew up in the ballet world where it was very toxic, and a lot of my friends had eating disorders. I've trained a plethora of supermodels, you know, the Victoria's Secret models, and, you know, where they were encouraged to just basically not eat, you know, like eat dust. And it's, you know, it's been a real mission of mine to really try and remove myself from that toxic environment and try and encourage young women to eat food, eat regularly, keep fueling that metabolism, you know, snacking throughout the day and thinking about food as your fuel, because we've come from the idea of like, oh, if I just starve myself, or if I just skip a meal, or if I just don't eat today, then I'll be thin, you know. And yeah, maybe in your early 20s, maybe you will be, but as you get, that actually stunts your metabolism. As you get older, it messes with your hormones, and you actually will have struggle more with your weight later on in life. So I as I said, was lucky enough to not get an eating disorder, but I've been surrounded by that enough to see, you know, the damage that it does. And I just think that we just, especially for young women today, it's another one of my missions that I dislike about social media is all of the filters and everybody showing like, this is how my body looks in this, you know, and they like, they've certain poses that they're doing. And now people are even, you know, photoshopping. And it's like, that's not realistic for young women. Of course, they're going to make comparison to themselves to that. So I think it's really important to be inspired by people on social media, but not to believe that everything you see is real. But getting back to your original question about intuitive eating, you know, it takes knowledge, number one. You know, it takes effort. It means like going and shopping and preparing your food, you know, not just like snacking and then ordering Postmates when you feel like it. You know, it's like really looking at the ingredients on packages and seeing what's inside it. You know, we're like, everyone's like, oh, eat this protein bar. Or eat, you know, I'm like, no, just eat real food. You know, like if you see something on a label and you can't pronounce the name of it, don't eat it. You know, it's like if your grandmother doesn't know what that ingredient is, but if she doesn't know how to pronounce it, don't eat it. You know, so it's like the caveman idea. So I think we've kind of come so far in a way, and especially living in America, we have access to everything. Like, you know, you plug in your phone, oh, I want a coffee, and it'll be delivered to your door in 5 minutes. You know, it's like we've become quite lazy. We're not, you know, making food at home anymore, which is one thing that I always say to clients, because please do that, because you know what you're putting into your food. You know, you're not putting in, you know, heavy sodium, you're not putting in heavy sugar. You know the quality of the meat, if you, you know, you or the freshness of the vegetables. So it's like going back to basics of like cooking for yourself, doing meal prep, and thinking about how that food will fuel your body.
I love that. And I love your mentality of food as fuel, because food and emotion have become like so closely tied. And I'm not sure what it is, but I feel like it kind of goes back to that like quick fix, like you're talking about. Like, I can order something and it shows up to my door. It's almost like you have this emotion, and the same way that you would want to control what you're eating, for example, like you want to control the emotion. So you're like, how can I get rid of it? Like, I need dopamine, so I'm going to eat, which will provide my brain with dopamine, and then hopefully that will go away. You're not thinking about like, how am I going to feel tomorrow? Or like, is this fueling my body? So I love that mentality and just taking that emotion out of the situation.
Yeah. And honestly, I feel like we've talked a lot about how many of our friends have come to both Kate and I and have asked for a plan or have asked for advice. You know, my background is in triathlon, and I do feel very blessed to have grown up with the food as fuel mentality, especially in today's world. But, you know, there isn't really one thing that works for everyone. At the end of the day, what works for you won't work for me. What you crave isn't what I crave. And our bodies are different, so we can't treat them the same. But to follow up on this, I'd love to hear a bit more about how you've been able to help some of your clients, especially coming off of COVID. Because I know COVID really affected a lot of people's relationships with food.
Yeah, COVID in general put people into a state of depression. So like addiction rates were up, you know, alcohol, drugs, food, every form of addiction was up because people were like, well, I'm at home. What am I doing? I've got time on my hands, you know, and there was the certain person who wrote a screenplay or, you know, or perhaps got in the best shape of their lives during COVID. But the majority of people didn't. The majority of people said, well, I don't have to keep up with society. I can stay in my pajamas all day. I can get food delivered still. And so I'm just going to not care, you know, and then that not caring. Remember the first 3 months, we were all like, are we never going to leave the house again? Like, no one had a clue what was going on, you know? And then it got to the point where it's like, well, people kept continuing that behavior for 2 years on. And so I've had clients return to me recently and they're like, I have not worked out in 2 years, you know? And how do I even start again? And, you know, that to me is baffling because I've always used exercise as a form of therapy. Like for me, I have to exercise to boost my mood, clear my mind, and, you know, feel connected to my body and centered. So the thought of not moving my body for 2 years is, you know, something hard for me to get my head around. But then I was like, okay, we just have to be really show some grace, you know, and be kind to ourselves and go, okay, well, we got ourselves into this state. Now we have to be gentle and kind and get ourselves out of it. And, you know, that's exercise and that's eating and that's addictions. You know, that's, you know, everyone all of a sudden was drinking, but they didn't drink before, or, you know, all of these things, these bad habits and behaviors that occurred. So I think the main thing is don't punish yourself. Because it's been a really hard 2 years. It's been really challenging. But know that, okay, enough is enough and it's time to change those habits again and start to look after yourself and show yourself some grace. If it means that you only can work out once a week, you know, for a little while until you can build up the stamina again, the strength again, and you can slowly come back, then, you know, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, going off of that, I feel like it that lends itself to the mentality of, okay, this isn't a diet. This isn't like a intense workout that I don't want to do. This is a lifestyle change. This is me just changing how I'm fueling my body. This is me choosing a workout that I enjoy that can be my therapy. Definitely.
You were also a trainer on Revenge Body with Khloe Kardashian, and you were a dancer from such a young age that you always had dancing as like this method of expression. So when you were working with clients that didn't have this in their back pocket, what surprised you?
I loved doing the show for many reasons, but one of my favorite things is when we all signed on, all of the other trainers were, you know, like strength trainers, like, oh, I'm going to throw a tire, you know, get the client to like, you know, drag a sled or whatever, throw a tire and, you know, deadlift and stuff like that. And then I came along and I was like, hey, we're going to do, you know, some dancing and jump on the trampoline. We're going to do some bar work and do some Pilates. And, you know, and I think a lot of the other, you know, we laugh about it because I'm friends with all of the trainers, but I think everyone was kind of like, well, who does she think she is? Like, this isn't going to work. And I remember my very first contestant, she said that to me, like on camera. She's like, this is not going to work for me. You know, I'm not going to be able to lose the weight that I need to by doing this. And then that fueled me even more to be like, okay, well, let me show you. By the end, I think she was like one of the top, you know, two or three that lost the most weight. And, you know, she was always an athlete. And so for her, it was like, one, she got to learn to dance. She got to learn to have that beautiful expression and creativity, learn to move her body in a different way. And also, two, it was a really nice moment for me to say to the industry, but also everybody that was watching, you know, there's no right or wrong way of exercising. Like just moving your body and doing something that you connect with and that you enjoy doing and you don't see a chore. And if you come and do that every day, you're going to see change in your body, as opposed to like you have to only do cycling or you have to only do this workout to see results.
I think it's such a paradox with like the high intensity of like you dread it, but you do it, but then you don't find consistency because you hate doing it so much. And it's like what you're saying, like just bringing it back to the consistency. And like, I love the way I feel like the industry has changed the wording around it, like saying movement a lot more mm-hmm. than just like my workout or like my workout for the day. It's the workout is like so mm-hmm. like transactional, and movement makes it so much more like intuitive and like, what does my body need right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of came from the school of, I used to dance 8 hours a day. And when I first started Body by Simone, I trained 7 hours a day. Like I would just be nonstop teaching class to client after client. But one thing that came out of COVID was, well, if you've just got 10 minutes, just move your body for 10 minutes. That's 10 minutes more than if you just sat on the couch. So I think it's helpful because it can seem so overwhelming. And if you haven't worked out in 10 years and then someone says to you, let's do a 55-minute class, you're like, I'm terrified, you know? So it's very daunting. So the idea of just telling someone all you need to do today is move your body for 10 minutes is, a great start.
Definitely. I mean, I, for one, took a lot of walks during COVID. My dog's gotten really good shape.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said that you do mirror minutes where you encourage women to look in the mirror and say one thing they love about themselves. This is so hard for so many women.
I actually did it yesterday. I was teaching a private dance class. A private class for a birthday. And at the very end, we were doing some ab work. And I said, now look in your mirror, look in the mirror and say, tell yourself you're beautiful. And every single woman looked down. And it was just like, and then I stopped and I said, okay, hang on. Like, why does everyone find this so difficult to do? I just asked you to look at yourself and say, I'm beautiful. And everybody struggled with it. So yeah, it's we are our worst enemies. We are, you know, a lot of my work now is moving from getting red carpet ready and getting so-and-so's, you know, arms and getting so-and-so's butt or so-and-so's legs. My work now is really moving into, you know, how does movement make you feel? How does it help you for your mental health? But also just the idea of, in, like, being in your body, empowering yourself and loving what you see. And, you know, the reason that someone is carrying extra weight has nothing to do with the fact that they like to eat pizza. You know, it has everything to do with the fact that they don't like themselves. You know, so a lot of the work has to begin from the inside out, like doing the internal work first. And that literally comes from, you know, words of affirmation and as simple as looking at yourself and saying, good morning, beautiful. Or, you know, I love my smile, or, you know, I love the sparkle in my eyes, or just saying something positive about yourself. It's very, very challenging for women to do. And over my years, you know, I see women doubt themselves consistently. And I, you know, that's one of my missions, is to try and change that dialogue.
I love that. And on Revenge Body 2, like, we can only see what we see on TV, but you can see the whole journey. You can see the ups and downs of the client, like their entire evolution. And you explain that there's always a root cause of obesity, whether it's trauma or depression or the loss of someone they love. Like, emotional baggage really does take a physical toll.
People don't realize just how interconnected everything is. I mean, for example, you know, college kid, when I'm studying and I'm stressed, it's exam week, right? I'm craving certain foods. I lack energy even when I'm working out. And you can just really tell I'm not doing too hot. But that's only short-term stress. That doesn't even factor in any kind of long-term emotional traumas.
Yeah. And you explained that this, like, internal work is what contributes to the external change. And that really is, like, the whole mission of our season, which is called, like, From the Inside Out. So how do we work on ourselves internally when we do this? Like, what are your key tips for clients or listeners to make this shift, to prepare them, like, internally to show up externally as the best that we can be in that moment?
Well, you know, that's one of the hardest things in life, I think, to do. And I think you need to surround yourself with, you know, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a friend or someone that you can talk to. I think it's very important to talk about your feelings, talk about your emotions, and to not suppress them. Because often the suppressed emotion is like, I can't deal with this right now. So I'm just going to push it down. And then what happens is, rather than, like, releasing that, you know, either talking about it within a safe environment, in a safe space, or, like, exercising or crying or, you know, whatever you need to do to get that emotion out. If you're repressing it and pushing it down, it comes out in other ways. And one of the, you know, the biggest ways is the emotional eating, because it's like, I just need instant gratification. I need something to make me feel good right now. So I'm just going to eat those fries, or I'm just going to eat that pizza or drink that bottle of wine. So I think, you know, just even starting with something small is, like, realizing that there's a problem or realizing that there's an issue or realizing that there's something that's upsetting you that you need to talk about. And then finding a safe space, whether that's a sister, a mother, a brother, a friend, a therapist, a trainer, a health coach, and being able to express that, you know, because we need to get these things out, because the problem is that we're storing them in our body. And, you know, what I've seen on revenge bodies, when you store trauma in your body, when I push someone to exercise and I push them and push them to the point where they're like exerting so much energy, this emotion just comes out like a monster. It's like, ah, because they've been pushed so hard, right? And they can't suppress it anymore. And so this emotion comes up. And sometimes it's the first time that people are acknowledging this feeling or this emotion. You know, and it's like, it's not until you actually pinpoint what that is, what that trauma is, what that problem is, what that issue is. And we all have it. Nobody is perfect. We all have our own crazy banana bucket of crazy, you know, in some form. And we need to normalize that and talk about it more and express it. So I think it's, you know, in the long answer to your question, it's acknowledging the problem. And then finding a safe place to talk about it, trying to express it and get it out. And then finding a way, maybe you're not a talker. Maybe that's not you want to do. Maybe it is exercise. You know, maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's journaling. Maybe it's, going for long walks, whatever it is, but finding some way to express it and get those feelings out.
So to dig even deeper into that, how do you teach clients to continue this lifestyle change even after the show ends? Consistency is everything, but so is what you do when no one's watching.
Absolutely. And that's always the interesting part, because I, you know, over the years have had A-list celebrities, I've had moms, I've had bachelorette, I've had college girls, I've had every form of female client you could imagine. And I can give all of them the exact same tools, like what I would give to an A-list celebrity, I would give to the both of you. And I can give you the meal plan, I can give you the workout program, I can give you all of this. Unless you are willing to do the work, you are not going to see the change. Only you can do that. And that comes down to, you know, your own self-worth. If you believe that you are worthy of change, if you believe that you are worthy, to chase your dreams and chase your goals, if you believe you're worthy to feel your best. I found that fascinating over the years, because like, hang on a minute, I just told you what to do. I gave you the rule book of like, this is what you do. And then, you know, and it's up to the person if they're going to do it or not. I can't go home and sit there and be like, what did you eat? Are you exercising? How much sleep did you have? Did you meditate today? Have you done yoga? You know, so it really comes down to you having to do the work yourself.
I like that you emphasize a really clear differentiation between ego and self-love, because on the surface, they do come from a similar point of like, this is what I deserve, but they come from such a different intention. And even a lot of people could avoid a cardio dance class because of the fear of looking stupid. But it's really interesting because there's like this notion that everybody knows how to run, but not everyone knows how to dance. And Body by Simone shows that that is just not true. And it all goes back to the story that we tell ourselves. Like, we can exercise because we love our bodies and we want to take care of ourselves and we want to feel the best that we can feel. Or we can exercise from this point of like self-deprecation and needing to change. And it's so funny because your phone makes like a little slideshow of like 4 or 5 pictures just from the past, random pictures. And it does it like every day. And the other day I was looking and one of the pictures was from 2018 from my first Body by Simone class in West Hollywood. And I was laughing because I was like, wow, this is so full circle. The picture was a quote by Martha Graham that was on the studio wall. And it says, nobody cares if you can dance well, just get up and dance. Great dancers are great because of their passion. And I feel like this is applied to entrepreneurship, dancing, starting something new, being creative. Like, everyone thinks it's about being comfortable with yourself so you can do X. But actually, like, dancing helps us get comfortable with ourselves and leave ego at the door. So when we're in a class, we're looking at ourselves in the mirror, that story like starts to come in our heads. How do we let go of this judgment for ourselves?
Yeah, that's so one of my mottos is leave your ego at the door. And, you know, for me, there are a lot of toxic environments out there for women where it's very competitive. And, you know, like you go in and take a class and you walk away and you're like, I didn't feel welcomed. I didn't feel comfortable. I felt judged. So it was a big mission of mine to make sure that it was a safe, ego-free environment for women to come and just, you know, be themselves. But I think that's one of the hardest lessons to learn in life. You know, and I say this now 11 years on from creating my business, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I had no idea. I literally just was like, I'm just going to show up every day and do what I love and just hope for the best. And so I think that's the other thing is like we think that we need to be, you know, we're perfectionists and we need to know how to do everything before we do something. And I can tell you now, the greatest entrepreneurs in the world didn't know what they were doing. They were making it up as they were going along, you know. And I'm a huge fan of Richard Branson. I love his story. I love the fact that he's like, I just learned on the job, you know. And if I didn't know what to do, I hired people that were smarter than me that taught me what to do. Or I was like, I learned and I was like, oh, I won't do that again. That didn't work, you know. And so I just think that it's a really great motto to anything in life. Like, don't come into a body-based moan class because you don't think you'll be perfect at it. Who cares? Just come in and do it. And then after the first class and the second class, you're like, oh, I really enjoy that, kind of got that. And you'll build your confidence that way. And you're basically learning class by class, like you're learning on the job.
So in your own journey, you said before, don't make a decision on fear. I want to get into this because, you know, we're in our 20s. We practically live our lives in a state of uncertainty. But how do we refrain from making decisions based on these underlying fears?
Ooh, once again, a very good question. It's one of my favorite quotes when someone always asks me, you know, what would you tell a young woman today? And I would say, don't base a decision on fear. If we lived in fear of everything, we would never do anything, you know, because it's like, oh, this could go wrong, or this, you know, I don't know how to do that and I'm going to look silly, or someone's not going to approve of that. Or I think you just have to, you know, another one of my favorites is just say yes to life, go with the flow and just do it. And if it doesn't work, it's not failure. There's a lesson learned, and you take that lesson. You go, okay, I won't do it next time. But you know, not having any judgment and just going with it. And you know, I can look back and think over the last 11 years, I had a lot of success, but I've also had a lot of lessons. I don't call them failures, but I've had a lot of things that didn't work out. And you know, and yet at the time you're like, oh well, I tried. You know, at least I tried, but that didn't work out. So we'll try something else. So yeah, I think don't make a decision based on fear. Just go with it and you learn.
I like that you talk about fear tied in with decision-making, because I think in the past few years, kind of the default has been fear, because there's been like so much uncertainty. And I think it takes a lot of intention and a lot of awareness to bring us out of that. And also in the past, just with everything that's been going on, like I think that there is a lot of focus on self. And I think that when we focus on ourselves and we make decisions based off of ourselves, like that is synonymous with fear. Because even when you were talking about it at the beginning, like starting Body by Simone, you weren't scared like, is this going to be successful? Am I going to be able to provide for myself? Am I making the right decision? Is this going to validate my ego? Like you were completely focused on how am I going to enhance the lives of other women? How am I going to empower them? How am I going to teach them this art of dancing and bring this gift of joy and like liberation to their lives? And none of that was based on fear, because you were so intentional about bringing joy and like making other people's lives better. And so I love that. And so much of your story is really rooted in intention. And something that is also like so intentional is our morning routine. And people say this is where like your success lies, in these little habits that make up your day. I don't know why, but the first thing I do in the morning, like since I was like 10, is a 3-minute plank every single day. And it just
Kate, that is such a new thing to
say. It's just like, if I do that one consistent thing, then like, I know the rest of my day can be craziness, but it's like, I just had that one thing that was, I know is the same every day that I can control, if that makes sense. I'm curious what your morning routine is to show up as the best Simone that you can be.
Well, first of all, I've never heard someone say that before, and I love it. And I love that it's a plank, because planks are so underrated, because they're such a great exercise to do. It's such a great full body workout. And maybe I'll do that tomorrow and I'll think of you. But I think for me, the biggest thing that I do now is just the first thing, and the thing I do every day is just gratitude. And I know it sounds cheesy and corny, like, oh, of course, she does. But I do. It's just simply, if you come from a place of gratitude, it's like, I'm so blessed to do what I love. I'm so blessed that I have a loving family. I'm so blessed that I'm healthy. Then you start your day in a positive mindset, and then, you know, it's coming from a good place, because it's so easy now to wake up, go through your phone, scroll through and see like recession's coming and everyone's got COVID and, you know, the war in Ukraine and, you know, like all of the disastrous things that are happening, and to be in a real negative mindset. Or you go through your emails and, you know, like someone's left work, or there's a flood, or, you know, there's always some kind of disaster happening. So I think, you know, starting off your day in a positive mindset and coming from a place of gratitude is really a consistent thing that I do, and it really helps me. It helps me start the day in a positive mindset.
I love that. It reminds me of the quote that's like, if you want happiness, find gratitude. Because gratitude's like, yeah, really just reflection on all of the wonderful things, and then happiness is like something that could just be so fleeting in any moment. And so I really love that.
So, okay, from trying different studio classes around the country, it becomes pretty clear that every studio has their own vibe or attitude that kind of permeates the environment, whether that's like intense, kind of culty, empowering, whatever it is. So is there a certain type of environment that you really strive to cultivate at your studio? And how did you set out to achieve that culture?
For me, it was the all-encompassing, safe, ego-free environment. And that was literally from the minute you walk in the door, from the front desk staff to the trainers to the clients. Because it's interesting, when you create an environment like that, people who are used to toxic environments, or people used to like competitive environments, will come into my studio, and it won't be for them, because they won't find that energy that they want, you know. So we end up having the most beautiful clients, the most beautiful community, because people are feeding off the energy that we are giving out. So it's really important for me in the hiring process, literally from, as I said, from the front desk staff to everyone, that everyone gets trained in service, but also just making someone feel comfortable. That's the biggest thing, you know. It's like welcoming someone into that community. You know, that was one of my most important things I've strived to do for the past 11 years, and, you know, continue to keep that even through an online experience. It's like, how do you do that through an email? How do you do that through Instagram posts? You know, what's the language that you use? Like, finding ways as a brand that, you know, covers all of those areas to make sure that you're always getting that message across.
That's really interesting. And Body by Simone, you have studios in both LA and New York. Is there anything interesting you've noticed about the different workout cultures in these cities? Like, this might sound like a generalization, but I've noticed in New York, it's like almost a race to get out the door as soon as possible, like before the music stops or before the stretching begins. And then like LA classes, I feel like it always ends in like more of a chill manner, and like people are laughing and talking at the end. I would be really interested to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I find it fascinating. So I started, you know, I opened the first one in New York, there's like A-type personalities, you know, young professionals come in, do the workout, got to leave, you know, and then go off to work. And everyone's just like, I want my workout. I want it hard. I want it fast. And I want to go. And then came to LA with that kind of energy. And it was just like, no, people wanted to do the OMS and the gratitude and the let's hang out, let's chat, let's get a green juice afterwards, you know. And then I opened a studio in London. And London was kind of like an in-between of New York and LA. It was like kind of like a happy medium. But it's really fascinating when you start a business, because you can't think of like, well, this is my product, it's going to work everywhere. You really have to adjust the product to the area that you're launching it in. It was like exact same workout, exact same training, but received in a completely different way based on the state or wherever you are at the time.
For all of our listeners, in case you're new here, our episodes will always start and end the same. So just like you already heard us talk about Simone's roots at the beginning of this episode, we'll end by talking about her experience during the most influential and outright crazy time in our lives, our 20s.
Since our listenership is primarily college students and those in their early careers, we want to center this last segment on them. And because those years tend to fly by, this is also more of a speed round with questions. Simone, are you ready?
Oh, God, the pressure. Okay, let's go.
So you mentioned this briefly at the beginning of this episode, but what's next for you? Is there another passion project potentially in the works?
Yeah, I think it's still always an act of service. I think it's still helping women be the best version of themselves. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to look. I think I'll always be in health and wellness and always be in fitness. COVID has really stunted a lot of my bigger dreams and goals. So I'm just eager to see what fingers crossed that the world will return to what it needs to, and that, yeah, I'll be able to keep building on Body by Simone and continue to help women and young women especially, because they're so influential.
What is your favorite cardio song to dance to?
I don't have a song, but I have an artist. So anything Calvin Harris. I actually said this in class on Wednesday. I was like, I always go back to him. He just makes the best dance cardio songs, and like literally my whole playlist will be Calvin Harris. It would just be a playlist from Calvin Harris.
What is your favorite quote?
I've got a couple, but probably say yes to life. I think it's really empowering. And it, you know, goes back to what we said earlier about not basing a decision on fear. Like just say yes and see what happens. You know, because there's going to be a lesson from it anyway, you know? So yeah, I think say yes to life.
So say we're coming to LA for a day, which we actually have this past week because we did our Greenish Times Body by Simone class. What is your ideal day in LA for any of our listeners that might be planning a trip soon? Like other than starting their day at Body by Simone, of course, what are your favorite spots to eat, favorite things to see?
What I love about LA is it's so easy to eat well, and you know, you're out in the beautiful fresh air. So obviously an exercise class at Body by Simone, but like walking along the beach, like driving down to Santa Monica or Malibu and literally getting your feet in the sand and into the ocean, and you know, taking a stroll, going for a hike is such a California thing to do, which I never used to do until I moved here. So whether that's Runyon Canyon and you'll bump into a celebrity on the way, but just getting out in nature, there's some beautiful hikes along the Palisades as well, like Cafe Gratitude, going and getting a delicious healthy meal, of course getting a green juice or a smoothie or a protein shake, going to Alfred's and getting a coffee. I think anything really that involves being outdoors. Obviously there's great people watching. Usually always going to bump into somebody that you know. I love going to the Grove because it feels like Disneyland with shops. So that's always a fun thing to do as well. But yeah, anything that involves health and wellness, you know, LA has got it down.
What was one of your favorite things about being a ballerina when you were younger?
I loved the community. It was just, you know, young girls. And, you know, we would just gather. We were just so close and such good friends. And, you know, I remember like everyone would just kiss and hug each other hello, which is so weird now because we don't do it because everyone's so frightened of COVID. So you give someone an elbow. But it was that really, just that really, you know, really close community of friends that some of my friends still now are ones that I danced with years and years ago because that bond is really just so special.
Have you ever been injured? And what are your thoughts on injury prevention while you're younger?
I have been injured twice, and they were stupid things that had nothing to do with exercise or diet. Where I was like running, one of them, I was running away from a teacher at school and I ran down the stairs and twisted my ankle and ended up in crutches. So I wouldn't advise running away from your teacher. And another one was I came out of a shower and I slipped and literally my feet went underneath me. And same thing, I ended up on crutches. And so they would, you know, you end up injuring yourself usually not when you're working out, when you're not thinking about it. Like something silly is walking up and down stairs or walking into a hanging pot plant or something. Yeah, so I would just say sometimes you can't avoid injury, but if it is while you're working out, make sure you've got correct footwear, make sure you do, you know, myofascial release, make sure you foam roll, make sure you get a massage and just really take care of your body, sleep well, eat well, take your vitamins. But, you know, sometimes injuries happen. But if you feel that there's like a tense calf, don't ignore it. Like go and get a massage, go and stretch it out, you know, and try and get on top of it sooner.
What is a lesson that you want your son to know?
I think once again is just to like follow your dreams. I think we get so caught up in the idea that we have to have a college degree or that, you know, we have to have a PhD. You know, it's like, no, just find your passion, go for it, live your life, and just don't care what other people think. We care so much about what other people think. Like, just don't care. Just be you, be wild and crazy, obviously safe. But yeah, go out and do what you love.
What was it like growing up in Australia? I'm actually planning on moving to Melbourne in August.
Oh, no. So that's where I grew up. Melbourne was actually the most locked down city in the world during COVID. So they really had a rough time, but I loved it. It, you know, I didn't realize it, but it was such a small town. You know, when you move to England and then you move to America and you're like, oh, Australia is such a small town because it's so isolated from the rest of the world. But they're quite advanced in a lot of things. Like a lot of their fashion is incredible. A lot of their fitness workout clothes are amazing. A lot of fitness brands coming out of Australia. Their coffee, Melbourne coffee is just incredible. The produce of food is so fresh, like nothing like you experience in America. The produce, the fresh seafood. You will literally go to the corner store and get, you know, fresh oysters that they've just pulled up from the ocean that would just, like, the produce is unbelievable. So, and the lifestyle, you know, we didn't grow up with a lot of money. I didn't, you know, grow up with wealthy parents or anything, but we lived near the beach. And every night we had dinner on the beach. We would just go down and have a little picnic and, you know, whatever the dinner was that we took with us. And, you know, I want that for my son as well. I just think that there's something really beautiful about having that beach lifestyle where you're just carefree. And
so what is your favorite Australian food?
Good question. They have the most amazing Greek food and the most amazing like Mediterranean food. Also the most amazing Asian food. They have the most incredible Thai food. All of it is amazing. But if you're talking about like typical Australian, you would have like a meat pie or a sausage roll, or you'd have a barbecue, you know, like burgers or a shrimp on the barbie, which we actually call prawns. So yeah, probably just a barbecue.
What is in your beauty and gym kit bag?
Water, dry shampoo, makeup wipes, hair ties, my iPhone, which obviously has all my music on it, another change of workout gear, my trainers, my shoes. As far as beauty products, I'm not like over the top with beauty products. I like to wear a little bit of makeup when I work out, but then I always make sure that I cleanse my face when I get back home. Maybe like, you know, the facial spray sometimes to cool down. Yeah, but pretty boring, just normal things really.
Well, your skin is absolutely like glowing, so you don't need anything. We always end with a final question called the Greenish Goal. What is one goal you recommend our listeners set, from mental and physical health to founding a company to mastering their wealth?
So everything comes back to your mental state. Yeah, it's all about your mindset. How you think about yourself, how you think about the situation you're in. We have the choice to choose how we react to something. So events can happen, arguments can happen, good things can happen, bad things can happen. We have the power to choose how we react to those, and that reaction will affect the rest of the day, the rest of the month, your life. So I think just remembering that you have the power to create your destiny, that you have the power to create what you want for yourself. I think we think that it's in the hands of other people, or our happiness is in the hands of other people, or I'll be happy when I get that. I'll be happy when I do that job. I'll be happy when I get that car. Remembering that you have the power to create your destiny. So however that means for you, for your personal life, for your profession, for your mental health, for your physical health.
I love that. And Simone, you're absolutely incredible, and we loved speaking with you.
This was so fun, and we are so appreciative of your time. Thank you so, so much, Simone. This was awesome.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, and congratulations on the launch of the podcast, and keep doing amazing work, because, you know, our young women are the community that will be our leaders, and we need to, as I said, you know, provide a safe environment where people can have the dialogue to talk about all of these things. It's really, really important. So congratulations and well done.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. You can find anything we mentioned today linked in our show notes.
And if you want more, make sure to go to our website at www.agreenishlife.com.
And don't forget, we release new episodes every other Friday. We'll see you next time on Greenish.